What's up? What's up? Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Dose of Courage Community Church. I'm your girl, Courage Molina. I am the pastor of Dose of Courage Community Church. We meet here every single Saturday morning at 8 a.m. EST, coming right into your bedrooms, your living rooms, your kitchens, your bathrooms, right? We're coming right to where you are. No reason for you not to get this good word that God has for you on Saturday mornings. Who is the dose of, who are we here at Dose of Courage Community Church? We are a place where entrepreneurial women fall in love with being in the Word of God. And the assignment on this house is to teach the Word authentically in such a way that it truly portrays the full character of God so that it is relatable. And so that you can apply it to any area of your life, regardless of the season that you are in. We need your support. We cannot do this work without you. It is impossible for me to do this great work that God has called me to without your support. How can you support us? First and foremost, you can focus on your own growth, right? Like, let me start with myself. This idea of putting my mask on first so then I can better help others. One of the ways that you can really get committed to your growth is one, by showing up every Saturday. But the other thing is prepping before you get here. And that means having the Bible study guide. You can go over to couragemolina.org/shop and get the latest digital Bible study guide. It's over 100 pages of Bible study goodness, right? To help you get clarity and insight into the Word in a way where you can apply it to your life and grow along with us. This month, the month of February, we are still focusing on John, but we are focusing on John chapters 8 through 14. And so the Bible study guide will help you with that. If you are in Courageous Faith membership, the Bible study guide is included as one of your benefits, and it is already available for you. You just need to log in so that you can download your copy. All right. You can also pray. That's another way to support us. Again, I'm going to tell you to pray for yourself. Pray that you could hear clearly from God. Pray that God would set a fire down in your soul. You can also pray for the people in your family, for the people in this community. You have an online community and you can pray for the women there. When you get in the discussion with us, you can make the decision to pray for the woman to the left of the screen and to the right of the screen for you. You can also pray for the leadership of this church. Say my name, Destiny's Child. Courage Molina, pray for your leadership by name. Luverta Reams, say our name. Erica Davenport, Janae Poehler, pray for us by name that we would continue to do the work that God has called us to do in the way that he has called us to do it, even when it get a little tight, get a little tough and people try our whole life, okay, that we would still continue to follow God. You can also share the good news. I wonder how many things you've shared this week. And how many of the things that you've shared this week has the power to transform the lives of the people that you've shared it with? Now, I've shared some things this week. I've talked about, I shared this recipe that my husband used. It's so delicious. He made some cilantro lime rice. Do y'all know he can cook? Good God. But that's not going to transform nobody's life. It could certainly put a smile on your face and fill your belly, but it ain't going to transform nobody's life. But that's something I shared this week. I wonder if we are sharing things, if we are intentional about sharing the things that have the potential to transform somebody's life, even if we don't have insight into their lives. Another thing I noticed this week, just that has been trending, y'all know I don't watch the news. The only time I see the news is this, if it trends on social media. One of the things that I saw that's been trending is the suicide rate of people who, from the outside, seem like they have it all together. From the outside, seem like all their prayers are being answered. But now we understand that there was an emptiness that they just were unable to overcome. I wonder how many people in our lives seem like they have everything going for them and seem like they're living the life that we want to live, but they are secretly battling something that only Jesus can help them to overcome, you know? And so I just want to encourage you to share the good news, even with your strong friends, even with the people who have a church, who love a church, even with the women, you know, who are in ministry, who lead in ministry. Even ministry leaders need to be poured into by people who they don't owe anything to, you know? So share this good news. We have a graphic. I sent it in the email. You can screenshot. Since right now we're on YouTube, you can go ahead. There's this little arrow on your screen. I don't know where it said on your screen, but it's on your screen somewhere. There's a little arrow and you can hit that share button and share that link in your group text, in your chat, on your social media. You can share it anywhere. Share however you can share it, okay? You can also give a monetary gift. This used to make me nervous, but this is now my most exciting part to say. If I'm honest, it's my most exciting part to say because I really played the Lord to the left. I just thought, well, I don't know how I'm going to do this work that you've called me to do because I really, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to need some funds. So I don't know how I'm going to do this. And the Lord was probably just shaking his head like, girl, I got people just waiting. I got people I'm blessing so they can bless you and you're not even in alignment. I'm so glad I said yes to the Lord and I got in alignment for the call on my life. But you can give a monetary gift. I don't want you to measure your monetary gift by what somebody else is giving or what somebody has told you to give. Every dollar counts. I say that all the time. Every dollar counts. So I want you to pray about what God is calling you to give. I want to give a shout out to those of you who continue to give for your continued generosity. Couldn't do this work without you. Tiffany, I don't know how to say your name, your last name. Tiffany Sinus. I just know you as Tip. I know you married and you got a real last name. I'm so sorry. But I want to give you a shout out. I'm not going to let the fact that I knew I couldn't pronounce your last name keep me from thanking you for your generosity. I so appreciate you. Thank you, Maritza, for your continued generosity. Thank you, Takara. Thank you, Sanar, for your continued giving. Thank you, Rosa, for your continued giving. Thank you, Laverta, for continuing to give. Thank you, Talia, for continuing to support this ministry with your dollars. Thank you, Olivia, for continuing to support this ministry every month. Thank you, Jenny Atwater. Thank you, Venice McCoy. Thank you, Leslie Walton, for your continued giving. There are so many more of you. Charge it to my head and not to my heart. Okay. I think it's time for us to get into this, right? I think it's time for us to get into it. Oh, look at me using my technology. Child, it's time for us to get into this word. I am so excited. Now, listen, I lie to myself a lot, y'all. That's why y'all should be praying for me. Okay, because I lie to myself all the time. And so usually when it's time for me to start teaching on Saturday, I look at what I have to teach and I think, well, it's not that much. Excuse me. I think to myself, well, you know, it's not that much. So I should be able to get through it fine. But it's always a ton, right? And then I'm like, I feel like I'm scrambling to get it all out. And then while I'm teaching you, the Lord is adding things to it. And so then I'm talking to you about that too, right? I got to add those things that I didn't write down to it. But this morning, as I prepped, listen, I got a lot to say today. Now, sometimes I think I just got a little bit, but I got a lot. I got a lot to say today. So we're going to see. We're just going to see what the Lord does. That's what we're going to do. We're going to see what the Holy Spirit does. Right now, we are focusing on the gospel according to John chapters 8 through 14. One of the things I thought about this week is how I don't put a lot of scriptures up on the screen. I watched a lot of sermons this weekend, I watched a lot of sermons this past week, and I noticed that there are a lot of things that go on the screen, lots of scriptures, and I really don't put a lot of scripture on the screen. And so then I started to think about what others might think about this ministry that I have. What kind of fake ministry is that? She doesn't even be having no scriptures. She just be saying stuff. And that is true. I don't really share a lot of scripture, like references. I have one today, but I don't really share a lot of scripture references. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to say this right at the top, because the expectation of this house is that you are reading every day, that you are preparing your mind, that you are renewing your mind by getting in the Word of God, that you are opening the good book that God has left for you, his love letter to you, the story of redemption for his people, that you are opening up that book and you are reading firsthand what has happened. And then when you come here, you know, you allow my gifting to elaborate on some of the things that you read or be confirmation for the thing that God said to you first in his word. Or that once I'm done teaching and you've gotten this great preview, maybe this is just your first time, and so welcome, first timer, that when you're done listening to all the things I say the word says, that you will not take me at my word because you don't actually know me. Even those of you who do know me, you don't know me. So I would hope, no, let me scratch that. I don't hope. I don't hope. My expectation, the expectation of this house is that if this is your first time, after you listen to this word gonna be good because the Lord got something to say to his people, that you would open up John, the Gospel of John in the New Testament, that you would turn to chapter 8 and that you would begin to read the word of God for yourself from chapters 8 through chapter 14. That you might trust me, but you might verify that the things that I said are written in this book and have come from the word of God are true. So that's one of the reasons you don't see a lot of scripture references, because I want you to read all of it. I don't want you to take some scripture out of context. I want you to have the full story of it. I need you to have the full story of it, because how else can you be equipped for the work that God has called you for? So I'm here to do some equipping. The teaching and the training that I do in this house is to equip you to say yes to the call on your life, whether that takes you to the marketplace, C-Corp, stay at home, wife or mother, don't matter to me, but that you would be equipped for the purpose for which you were created by God. And we know that the word is good for equipping. So you're not going to see a ton of scriptures. You're probably not going to see any. You'll hear me reference them and you can verify them by opening your own Bible and reading them. Can somebody say amen? Okay. Since we are starting with John chapter 8 through 14, and this is week one of this study, we use the BOLD method here. And BOLD is an acronym. Every single week of the month, we go through those letters. We focus on what those letters mean. This week, this is week one, so we're going to bear witness. What does it mean to bear witness? It means that when I read the scripture, I'm really focused on the who said it, who did it, what they did, what they said, oh, child, when they did it, when they said it, where did they do that? Where did they say that? Why did she do that? Why did he do that? Oh, child, now tell me how he did that. Now tell me how he did. You understand what I'm saying? The bear witness, this first week of bearing witness, is the who, what, when, where, why, and how. Right? It's not an interpretation of what happened. It's just getting the facts, the order of events, or at the very least, the order of events as they are presented to us in whatever book we're studying, whatever section we're studying. And so, so there you go, right? So that's what we'll focus on today. We're going to focus on the who, what, when, where, why, how, kind of. We're kind of going to do that. Before we get started, I always talk about the purpose, right? I think it's so important. That's one of the things we talked about with John chapters 1 through 7. We talked about the purpose of John the Apostle. And everybody's got a purpose, right? We all... I don't mean this great big purpose too. I mean, like the things that we do, we have a purpose for doing it, why we went to college, why we got married, why we didn't get married. All these things, right? There's a purpose that is our driving force. And so before we look at the who, what, when, where, why, I just, for a second, you know what? Let me do the who, what, when, where, why. Let me do that. I'm about to run through it. Okay. Chapter 8. We're going to start in chapter 8. I'm going to stick with the who, what, when, where, why, how. I'm going to stick with that. And then I'm going to go in. Okay. So I just have my Bible in front of me, and I'm just going to go through the subjects that they have here, the subtitles and titles that they have here, and then, you know, kind of give your run through. So in chapter 8, we see that an adulteress is forgiven by Jesus. There are men who find her in the act of adultery. They bring her to Jesus, and instead of Jesus condemning her, he saves her, protects her. And this is where we hear this line, let he who is without sin throw the first stone. All right. And nobody threw a stone. So this lady is forgiven. This is also where we see Jesus is teaching them that he is the light of the world, that he comes from the Father. We also see Jesus predicting his own death. He explains to them in chapter 8, the relationship between the truth and freedom, that if they really knew the truth, that they would be set free from the bondage of sin, that anybody who commits sin is a slave to sin. And he kind of explains that if you are my disciples, he's talking to the Jews here, right? He's not talking about non-believers and things like that. He's talking to them, if you believe me and you know who I am, then you'll do like I say, and you'll hold on to these teachings. And then when you hold on to these teachings, then you will know in the You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He explains to them the truth and the freedom. He also talks to them about how they are not truly children of Abraham. These are Jews who believe that Abraham is the father of the religion, right? It is through Abraham that God created this covenant and made the decision to set Israel apart, that he would create a nation for himself. To really reveal the character of God and redeem men and women from sin, right? And so as Jews, they see Abraham as the father of their faith. And Jesus explains to them that I came before Abraham because I am not from this world. I came from God. And they struggle a little bit. And then in chapter 9, we see that Jesus is up to no good according to the law. According to the law, once again, what happens? He heals a man born blind. When does he heal him? Y'all know he healed him, don't you? On the Sabbath. He healed him on the Sabbath. He healed him on the Sabbath. He healed him on a day that wasn't the Sabbath, on the day that was sanctioned for healing. He healed him on the Sabbath. How did he heal him? In a way that required himself to do a lot of work. He didn't just say, oh, you have sight. He spit in the dirt. He made mud. Then he put mud on a man's eyes. Then he told the man to go wash his face. Spitting in mud, spitting in dirt and making mud, that's work. That's against the Sabbath. Putting that mud on that man's face, healing him, that's work on the Sabbath. Telling that man to go wash his face, washing his face, that's work on the Sabbath. I'm just trying to help y'all understand how Jesus was breaking the law. Listen, Jesus was breaking the law. Can you hear me? Jesus was breaking. I think sometimes we think because it's Jesus, he's not breaking the law. God gave the law to Moses. He gave the law to Moses. God gave the law to Moses to govern the people, to guide and protect the people, to keep the people, right? And then Jesus was like, hey, I'm gonna do this, right? So just for the record, Jesus is breaking the law. I know sometimes like, well, Jesus, friend, it was the law not to heal on the Sabbath. I know that we have all these reasons why it's okay, but I just still want you to, you know, biblically speaking, he was breaking the law. Then the healed man gave a testimony and said, I was born blind, but this man has made me see. The Pharisees wanted to know, like, how did he heal you? Who is he? He's like, I don't really know who he is, but he must be kind of a big deal according to the Lord, because when have you ever seen somebody heal a person who was born blind from birth? A person who was blind from birth. When have you ever seen that? Y'all keep asking me who he is. Do y'all want to be his disciples? So the Pharisees are mad that the man is acting like this. They're going to talk to his parents. His parents are like, that's definitely my son. He was born blind, but I don't know who healed him. And, you know, John, the apostle who wrote the gospel, lets us know, gives us some insight that the reason that the parents said this. Sorry, I'm having trouble hearing. You hear Alexa? John, not Alexa, the apostle tells us, you know, gives us this insight that the reason that the parents say they don't know who healed him is because the Pharisees have already made it clear that anybody who confesses, identifies Jesus as the Messiah is going to be put outside the synagogue. So they don't want that kind of beef. They don't want that kind of trouble. In chapter 10, God, reveals himself. Jesus says that he is the good shepherd. He explains what a good shepherd is. He is someone who would lay down his life. He's a good shepherd. His sheep know him. He's saying that the others are hired hands. And so when real trouble comes, not that they didn't do any good work. I want you to pay attention to that. He's not saying that the hired hands were lazy and didn't do any good work. He said when things got tough, they was like, nah, let me go ahead and go. We're not about to die for these sheep. Why are they not my sheep? He didn't say that the hired hands were lazy or that the hired hands mistreat the sheep or that the hired hands didn't do the work that they had been hired to do. He just simply said they were hired. They were not their sheep. So when trouble came, when danger came, when it was time for the rubber to meet the road, when it got thick or when it got thin, they was like, no, I did not sign up for this. I'm not being paid for this. And so they ran away and he's letting them know that I am the good shepherd. I'm going to lay down my life for my sheep. Ain't nobody going to take it. But I'm going to lay my life down because I have the power to pick it back up. He goes to the festival of dedication. People really feeling some type of way. Now they want to stone him. So he leaves. He goes beyond the Jordan. Beyond the Jordan is where John the Baptizer, chapters 1-7, John the Baptizer was baptizing people. And he had a message of repentance, making a way for Jesus. And so the people on that side had already heard a lot about Jesus from John the Baptizer. And so even though John the Baptizer didn't do a lot of signs, they believed Jesus because Jesus did the signs that John the Baptist told them about. You understand what I'm saying? So a lot of people believe. Now, while he's there, Lazarus, his homeboy, you know, they all fam, right? He dies. He gets sick. He gets sick first, right? He gets sick and they send message to Jesus. He like, oh man, this sickness will not be unto death. He waits another 2 days. Now he goes, by the time he gets there, Lazarus has been buried and dead for 4 days. His sister Martha, who is much like a lot of us, even though she gets a lot of, you know, I feel like Martha get a lot of slack, you know, but the truth is, if you could have saved my brother's life and I called you to come save my brother and y'all supposed to be so close and you didn't come, it's a problem. I went home. My brother was just released from prison. And I went home to see him and to celebrate his homecoming or whatever. And there was somebody that said something about my brother and I felt a way, you know, because they supposed to be homeboys. They supposed to be close. Now, we all related. We cousins. And so I just pulled him to the side and I was like, hey, I thought y'all was so close. But here come to find out that when we needed you, you was unavailable. We couldn't even find you. But you over here trying to act like y'all so cool. Listen, real talk, I'm a Martha, and you might not be a Martha, and that's cool, but if you're going to go get you some understanding, then you might be a Martha, too. You understand what I'm saying? And that's all Martha was doing. She was like, well, tell me something, because I thought y'all was homeboys. Tell me something. We sent word to you, and I know you got that word soon enough that you could have just sent a word and saved my brother's life, but you did. So now you want to come after we done bury him? You wasn't even here for the funeral. I ain't got no Marthas. I'm the only Martha. If you are Martha, sometimes go ahead, drop in the chat. Martha, go ahead, drop in the chat, Martha. We get it. Drop it in the chat, Martha. We get it. If you get what she was just like, bruh, I thought y'all was so cool. You could have just said a word, but you didn't. You didn't even come. I mean, I know you said it's going to all work out in the end, but you could have come and saved my brother. So then he goes to the tomb, and he helps them to understand that he, Jesus, is the resurrection, not just that he can resurrect things, not just that he will be resurrecting himself in a time to come, but he himself is the resurrection and the life. He goes to the tomb, he calls Lazarus. Lazarus gets up and walks. People are like, wow, they believe because they were there to witness. Some feel some type of way and they go and tell the Pharisees, I want to know, did y'all know what Jesus did down in that tomb the other day? Right? Did y'all do? And so now this has happened. Now they plot to kill Jesus, right? And guess who else they plot to kill? Now they plot to kill Lazarus because it was in the blessing that he received, the miracle that he received that he did not do to himself that caused people, because people could witness what God, come on somebody, because people could witness what God did in the life of Lazarus, because people witnessed what Jesus did in the life of Lazarus, they believed. Not because they experienced it for themselves, but because of what I saw happen in somebody else's life, I'm a believer. You understand? And so this made them mad, like, we're going to have to kill him too. Then we see Jesus coming in the next day to the festival. He was coming to Jerusalem. Everybody's so excited. He got like a little parade. They put the palm leaves and they are saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They so excited. You know, like, oh, yay, Jesus. And they got this whole celebration. In the midst of this whole celebration, Jesus still predicts his crucifixion. In this section, chapter 12, we see that John the Apostle, who wrote the gospel according to John, includes for us, a reference to Isaiah's prophecy, right? That brings us back to purpose real quick. Let's step to the side. That brings us back to purpose because John tells us what the purpose of this gospel is. And in order for him to achieve the purpose for which he has set out, there are some things that he needs to include in his gospel. And one of those things is Old Testament prophecy. This is prophecy that the Jews of that day would have been aware of. They would have known this. We don't know the word like they knew the word. A lot of us don't know the word like they knew the word. So when things are happening, we can't connect them to the things that were prophesied because we're not aware of those things. But you know, John is talking to people who should be aware of Old Testament prophecy, but he's connecting the dots for them. And then we see, In chapter 12, we also get a summary of Jesus's mission here, that he's come to be the light, that he came to save people. He came to, he didn't come to judge them, but he came to save the world, right? In chapter 12, we see a summary of Jesus's mission. Chapter 13, we see that Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. Now, I don't know how many of you get manicures. I go get a manicure, but one of the things I do before I go get a manicure, no matter what time, excuse me, my appointment is, no matter what time my appointment is, no matter what time, day or night, no matter when is the last time I took a shower, maybe my appointment's at 1 o'clock, but I took a shower at 9 a.m. that morning, I'm just going to check my feet out before I get to my pedicures. Because while I wear socks and shoes and slippers in my home, I still want my feet to be as clean as I can get them before I go to this place where somebody's going to be washing my feet and doing this pedicure. Back in the day, in biblical times, because I want you to understand this part. Let me just stop for a second. You know, they had sandals. They had thong sandals. You know, the thong sandal is where the string go between your toe. And it's just like it's real flat. So basically, it's not your bare feet, right? It's not your barefoot, but it's like a thin flip-flop. So they walk around in flip-flop. It's no sidewalks. Do you understand the terrain of these places? It's not, they're not on sidewalks and stuff. It's kind of dusty out there. It's a lot of dust. You know what I'm saying? And when they wash themselves, they're not necessarily washing their feet. They don't have tubs and showers and things like that. They're not getting clean like that or whatever. So, you know, their feet are very disgusting and filthy and just nasty and dirty in my 2022 opinion about how dirty their feet might be. You ever see? I ain't gonna do it. So listen, so their feet super dirty. Just take my word for it. You ever seen these little kids? They got these little sandals on and they just out there playing in the dirt. And when they come in, you take the shoe off. The only part that's clean is the part that the shoe was covering. You know what I'm saying? Dirty like that. That's how this is. And so Jesus, the Messiah, the one who is raised Lazarus from the dead, the one that they believe, the one that they follow, the one that is preparing to die for their sins, the one that is coming to do all this good work. He gets down on the ground and he washes their feet. And then he explains to them the importance of washing their feet, that, a master is not going to be beneath the student, but this is him leading by example. This is what I expect for y'all to do. I expect for y'all to take care of each other. I expect for y'all to cover each other. Now, Peter's like, oh no, not me, Lord. He was like, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part of me. He was like, okay, well then wash everything. Wash all of me. It was like, those that bathe, they don't need to be cleaned all over. You took a bath, you good. But I'm going to wash your feet. You know, I'm going to serve you in this way. And then Jesus predicts, you know, Judas's betrayal. He knows it's going to be him. And he gives him a new commandment to continue on with this example that he's given them and take care of each other, that people would know that you are disciples, that people would know that you are men and women. He was only talking to men, but that people would know that you are a follower of Christ because of how you treat each other, not because of the scripture you quote, not because of the outfit you wear, but because of your love for one another, right? Glorify. I'm only going to be here with you for a little while. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Not if you quiz each other and you know a lot of Bible scripture and a lot of Bible trivia. That's not what he said. Not if you know all the songs and you know how to hold a tambourine. No, that's not what he said. He said, they will know that you belong to me by how you treat each other. This is the new commandment he gives them, right? But Peter's feeling some type of way. He's like, no, Lord, you're not about to die. We're not about, oh no, sir. He's like, get thee behind me. Listen, sir, you can't go where I'm going. I'm about to do some good work. So just have a seat, okay? Jesus then continues to teach the disciples. Now he's just talking to the disciples. He's not speaking to the Pharisees. I think it's very important for us to pay attention to who Jesus is talking to, the tone that he uses, depending on the audience that he has. I think that's very important. It's very key. But Jesus is talking to the disciples and he is telling them that he is the way to the Father. He is telling them that he's going to go before them. He's going to leave them, and where he's going, they can't go. But for them not to be troubled, he's like, I know y'all are real upset right this, but don't be upset, because I'm going to send somebody. This is actually better for y'all that I will leave, because if I stay here, then the Comforter will not come. But I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a way for you, and the Comforter is going to come. And the Comforter is going to be able to show you some things, going to be able to do some things. The Comforter is going to do some great work, right? Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus gives them a gift of peace, right? He said, this peace I leave with you, not as the world, this peace I give, you know, can't nobody take it away. So these are all the things that happen right? John chapters 8 through 14, right? These are all the things that happen. And I typically just stay right there and I slow down a little bit and I use all of my talking time to talk about, you know, who said what, who did you say it to, what, where, when, where, how, right? But the Lord's got something a little bit different for us today. We're going to talk about purpose a little bit because that's really going to help us to understand. It's going to be the filtration system by which you are looking at what happened, really understanding what happened and why. Everybody's got a purpose, right? We see that Jesus has a purpose, but I'm going to start with y'all. Everybody has a purpose. We all have a purpose. We all have the same purpose. Your universal purpose is to know God and to make him known, right? We all got a purpose. I love this term, universal purpose. I stole that from my best friend, Erica Davenport, of She Pursues Purpose. I don't know where she got it from, but that's where I heard it for the first time. I was like, yes, that's a good way to describe it. We all have the same universal purpose. This is the purpose for every man, woman, and child on the face of the planet, to know God and to make him known, right? Everybody's got a purpose, and that purpose is to know God and to make him known, right? And that is to follow his commandments, hold on to his teachings, right? Like all of these things, everybody. So that if I'm going to know God, that means I got to get in the word. I got to open up and be open to hearing from God. I have to be able to do these. I need to be willing to do these things in order for me to know God. And if I'm going to make him known, I'm going to make him known by the way I treat people. I'm going to make him known by the way I talk to people. I'm going to make him known by sharing the gospel. I'm going to make him known by sharing a scripture with somebody, by praying for somebody, by encouraging somebody, by sharing a testimony, right? Everybody has that same responsibility. Every man, woman, or child, our purpose, the purpose for which we were created, is to know God and to make him known. Beautiful. But guess what? My homegirl Erica also says that we have an individual purpose, which is true. This is the purpose that oftentimes eludes us. This is the purpose that we often look to determine where and how we will serve in the marketplace. If God has called us to serve in the marketplace, this is where we look to see if we even gonna be in the marketplace. Maybe God hasn't called us to the marketplace, but this is where we go to find out what God is calling us to do from day to day on this earth, in the natural, and how we work our 9 to 5 or whatever your work schedule is, right? An individual purpose. This is the purpose for which you were created, preordained by God for you to do. Good works. Good works is service. Good works is the work that you do for other people to improve their life in some form or fashion. Good work, this purpose that you have is in service to others. You can see that in Ephesians 2:10. Okay, Ephesians 2:10. So we all have a universal purpose, right? That kind of is the driving force behind our spiritual growth, our spiritual journey, our faith walk, right? This universal purpose that we have. But we also have an individual purpose, and those individual purpose, this purpose is the driving force for those of us who are on assignment from God. So we have a universal purpose, to know God and to make him known. But we also have these individual purposes, right? Everybody has their own purpose. And for those who are on assignment for God, if you're on assignment, let me get you to drop in the chat on assignment. If you'd like to be on assignment, but you haven't started, you don't know where to start, I want you to drop in the chat on assignment. Purpose is a driving force for those that are on assignment from God. Purpose is the I'm gonna say it again. If you're on assignment, I want you to drop on assignment. Purpose is the driving force. I'm gonna show you, I'm gonna prove this to you. I don't really like proving stuff, but I'm gonna prove it to you. I'm gonna show and illustrate that this truth that I'm telling you, that purpose is the driving force for those of us who are on assignment. I'm gonna show you the apostle, John the baptizer, and Jesus, they all had a purpose, right? They all had a purpose, right? John the apostle, his purpose, which he tells us throughout the gospel according to John, he tells us it is so that we would believe Jesus is the Messiah and that we would have eternal life. So John the Apostle had a purpose. He had a purpose when he wrote the gospel about Jesus. There were three other gospels. There were other gospels that weren't included in the Bible, but that's another talk for another day. But John's purpose, if you look at his gospel in comparison to the other three, it's very different. The things that he includes, the insight that he provides, the prophecies that he includes, the connection that he makes, the things that he highlights are different from the other three gospels, which shows us that John had a different purpose and therefore driving force, right? It was to show the original audience and subsequently us, right? That Jesus was in fact the Messiah, not just to fact check or support Jesus, but with the hopes, with the plan, with the objective that by showing you that Jesus is the true Son of God and the Messiah, that you, the reader, the original reader, not you, that you, the original reader, would believe and therefore have eternal life. That's how he decided what would be included. That's why the book of John, the gospel according to John, isn't one that starts with the Christmas story. It's why it's not necessarily in chronological order. It's why it is an introduction of who Jesus is. And then most of the gospel is the message and ministry of Jesus that highlights or puts Jesus in the light to help the reader to see that Jesus is the Messiah so that they can believe and have eternal life. Jesus also had a purpose. His purpose, which he says throughout all four gospels and also in the Gospel of John, is to do the work of God, to only say what God tells him to say and to only do what God tells him to do, thereby meaning that he will heal, find the lost, that he would give eternal life, that he would serve even unto death on the cross. That was his driving force, his purpose. He had a purpose. That's why he went where he went, why he said what he said, why he did what he did in the manner in which he did it. It's why he taught the way that he taught, because he had a purpose. And so because he was on assignment from God, it was the driving force behind what he did. I wonder what your purpose is, right? I know that as followers of Christ, we're called to follow the commandments, to hold on to the teachings, but I wonder if we are doing the work for which we've been created for. Are you doing the work for which you've been created for? And is the purpose, the individual purpose that God created you for, is that in fact the driving force of your life? Because the people who are on assignment, their purpose, the thing that which they were created for, is the driving force and nothing else. It's what dictates what they do, who they serve, how they serve, where they go, how they go, the things they focus on, the things that are important to them, how they make decisions, right? It's based on purpose. And so I wonder, if you're doing the work for which you were created for. People who are on assignment, we all of us, everybody, now listen, even people who ain't on assignment, I'm gonna say this, right? Everybody, we kind of share the same thing. And this is the thing I really want to double down on. We all have a message and a ministry. John, the apostle, had a message. Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of Man, the one that was prophesied in Old Testament, and he is here fulfilling the prophecy. Let me show you what he's done, right? So John the Apostle, he had a message and a ministry. John the Baptizer had a message. There is one who is coming, whose sandals I am unfit. John the Baptizer had a message. Jesus is coming. Repent, confess, repent, get baptized and turn away. Prepare your hearts for Jesus, the coming Messiah. So John the Baptist, he had a message, right? of confession, repentance, and get baptized. He also had a ministry where he was baptizing people. John the Apostle had a message that Jesus is the Son of God. He also had a ministry, right, spreading the gospel and introducing people to the true Messiah so that they could have eternal life. And then Jesus also had a message and a ministry, right? And so that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about Jesus's message and ministry for the most part, because here's the thing. We all have a message and a ministry. Now I know what your message is and I don't know what your ministry is, but we all have a message and a ministry. It started to make me think a little bit. What is a message? So I Googled message. I wanted to get a message defined. And so the first definition you'll see on your screen, a verbal, written, or recorded communication. John had some verbal communication. He had some written communication. Both John the Baptizer and John the Apostle. Jesus also had some verbal and written communication, right? Sent to or left for a recipient who cannot be contacted directly. Well, all of the Bible is a message for those that the writers, right? John the Apostle couldn't get the message himself, right, directly to all the people he wanted to serve. These were non-Jewish Christians, Jewish Christians, and people who were seeking, right, people who were seeking something to believe in. He couldn't get to all of them, so he had a message, and he left a message through the gospel, right, according to John. Another definition of message, which is probably the one that we think of most, is a significant point or central theme. I'm going to talk about Jesus' message in that vein. A significant point or central theme, especially one that has political, social, or moral importance. There's a message. John the Baptist had a message. John the Apostle had a message. And Jesus also had a message like this message. Here it is, 2022. Though, and most of the women that I serve in this ministry are entrepreneurs. And so sometimes we hear message and messaging. And so I wanted to speak to that even, right? Message or messaging in entrepreneurship is what we communicate about who we are, what we do, who we serve, how we serve them, and the goals we help them achieve through our product and service, right? We have a message. Even we, business owners, entrepreneurs, leaders, we have a message. We're telling people our brands have a message. Our businesses have a message. And our message communicates, whether it is written, whether it is a central thing, it communicates who we are, what we do, who we serve, how we serve them, right? And the goals that we can help them accomplish through our products and our services. So everybody's got a message. Even in entrepreneurship, we've heard this term message. But what is ministry, right? Because I want to talk to you about Jesus's message and ministry. What is ministry? Ministry is not a message. Ministry may be a way that I spread my message, but ministry is not a message, while it may relate a message. The difference between a message and ministry is messages talk of some kind, communication of some kind, words. A message is words. Ministry is action. We all got a message, something we say, and we all got a ministry, something we do. Okay? Ministry is an activity carried out by Christians. I think this is from Wikipedia, to express or spread their faith. It's work. To express or spread their faith, not to express or spread the scriptures, but to express and spread their faith, what they believe, the substance of the things that they hope for, the evidence of things they haven't seen. You understand what I'm saying? It is an activity, it's action carried out by Christians. So that means that if you do an activity and you are Christian and you do that activity in a way that spreads your faith, right? What you believe, what you hope for, then you have a ministry. If you are a Christian and you do work, and the purpose of that work is to reflect your faith, then you have a ministry, right? Then you have a ministry. Our faith, the cornerstone of our faith is Jesus. The cornerstone of our faith is Jesus. But faith takes us beyond the prayer of salvation. Okay, are you with me? Faith takes us beyond the prayer of salvation. We don't get a ministry until we become Christian. Now that I'm Christian, right? So then that takes me back to Ephesians 2:10, that we are God's workmanship created through Jesus Christ to do good works that he has preordained for us to do. That's our ministry. So God created you in a way. I can go back to Genesis or Exodus or Deuteronomy. I don't know where, if I'm honest. One of those places, I'd have to Google it to give it to you for certain, where God says, poured out wisdom of this craftsmanship and this artistry so that they could work with stones and metals. And let me see those of you who are gifted in putting together this thread and this twine and all these things, right? So it's not just in, so my purpose in the work that I've been called to do, that a person has been called to do, is not just in spreading the truth about Jesus. It doesn't stop with what's in the Bible. Ministry isn't a message. Ministry is the way that I show, right? It's my work. It's how I spread my faith. Faith goes beyond my prayer of salvation. James tells us that if we believe something, right, we show our faith in the work that we do. I don't know what about mediocre work on somebody's job spreads your faith. That's why your job isn't your ministry. I didn't know it was going to come like that. But that's why your job is not your ministry. It's not that your job couldn't be your ministry. It's that mediocre work does not help to spread your faith. It does not help to spread the truth about God, the character of God. It doesn't help shed light in a dark place. So you on your job, and you're right, your job ain't your ministry, but it ain't your ministry because you're mediocre, because you're late. Because you ain't on time, because you've forsaken the importance of working as unto God and not as unto man. You've forgotten the importance of serving those, even though you might be the manager, right? You're a Christian. And so Jesus has set the example of how he worked with the people and for the people he was called to lead, right? So that's why your job ain't your ministry. You said that your job ain't your ministry. You right. Because you're not doing a good job at it. So it definitely can't be your ministry as a Christian, because you can't spread your faith with this trash work that you're giving on these folks' job because you're tired of working. This not really being on the Zoom call when you're supposed to be on the Zoom call. This not really doing the work they called you to do because, you know, you think it's dumb, it's beneath you. Just not doing things at the level of excellence for which you have been created and have the ability and the capacity to do. This withholding of all the things you could do because they ain't paying you enough and you ain't about to be giving these folks all of this and they ain't doing that for you. That's why your job ain't no ministry. But that's, I wasn't going there. It's just where the Lord went. That's why your job ain't no ministry. But it is why at the same time, the man who was cutting your grass, doing your lawn, it's why his work, though outside of the church, can be his ministry, because he's doing it in a way, right, to spread his faith that God is a God of excellence and I'm like my father, that God is a God of beauty and I'm about to, God is a creative God. God is a God who loves beautiful things. And I'm about to make this yard the best yard you ever seen. Even though you got a bunch of crab grass, I'm going to use what you got. And I'm going to put this gifting that God gave me to do that. You understand what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Ministry is an activity carried out by Christians to express or spread their faith. It's work. Ministry is work. What work you do? Okay, that's your ministry. Oh, but you don't do a good job. Okay, well, then it ain't your ministry. I mean, that's it, right? I want to talk to you about Jesus's message. Jesus had a message and a ministry that I want us to learn from, that I want us to get closer to Christ as a result of understanding his message and his ministry. And I want us to walk away. I want us all, myself included, to walk away looking at my own message and looking at our own ministry. Let me look within, right? Drop in the chat for me. If you're ready, you're ready. Drop in the chat for me. Message and ministry. Drop it in the chat for me. Message and ministry. Message and ministry. Jesus's message. I got 4 points to really describe and illustrate what Jesus's message was, right? I said, as an entrepreneur, I'm going to keep tying it back to entrepreneurship because I know a lot of you, a lot of us have been called to it. Sometimes we just be missing the mark. But, you know, I said in entrepreneurship, the ministry says who you are, what you do, who you serve, how, and what you can help them achieve through your product or service. When I tell you the Lord just put this whole thing together, he done put this thing together. Well, he put this message, this teaching together for y'all on today, okay? I said that the message in entrepreneurship, let me put this up here real quick. I said the message in entrepreneurship is who you are, what you do, who you serve. Come on, he really doing this thing. How? And the goals you can help them achieve through your product or service, right? I'm going to leave that up there for now. This is the message for entrepreneurship, right? And so I want you to understand that Jesus, low-key or high-key, is an entrepreneur, okay? I know we don't want to be in the marketplace, especially those of us who have been called to teach scripture in some way or help people grow in their faith in some way. We don't want to make that a business. I don't know why, because Jesus had a business and Jesus said, I'm about my father's business, right? Like that's what he said, but I'm about my business. Okay, message. Jesus had a message. He said who he was. He said he is the light, the way, the good shepherd. He said that he was God. He was one with God. He was from the Father. He was the resurrection and the life. In entrepreneurship, your message includes who you are. Jesus, from chapters 1 all the way through 14, continued to say who he was. I am the light, the way, the good shepherd. I'm the God. I'm resurrection. I'm life, right? In entrepreneurship, we know who we've come to serve. In entrepreneurship, we know that everybody's not going to accept us. In entrepreneurship, we know that we have an audience. Jesus had an audience. Only those that know God know him, and it's impossible to know one without the other. Jesus said, I could, listen, this might work for everybody, but the truth is, the only people who are going to work with me, the only people who are going to receive me are those who know God, not everybody. Doesn't change that what I have will help everybody. Doesn't change that I'm the true Messiah. But what I understand is that the people who are going to be open to hearing from me and working for me are only the people that know God, because when they know him, it is impossible for them not to know me. And it is impossible for them to know one without the other. So while somebody might say they know God, if they do not accept me, they don't really know God, because if they knew God, they would know me, because it's impossible to know one without the other. Right? He gave instruction, right? His message was, you know, I want to help y'all to change. I want you to get free. Jesus had a goal. Jesus wanted to transform their lives. They were slaves. He wanted to make them free. And he hold on to his word. He told them, hold on to my word. If you abide in me, he said, if you are my disciples, then you'll do what I say. If you love me, you'll do what I say. You want to know how to get transformed. You want to know how to get free. You want to know there's a goal I can help you to accomplish, right? There's a goal I can help you to accomplish. You got to hold on to my word. You got to do what it says. Then when you do that, then you'll know the truth. And it's actually the truth that will set you free. Free from sin, free from worry, free from anxiety, free from debt. This is the thing that's going to set you free. Another part of his message was that belief or your faith is revealed in what you do, not what knowledge you possess, right? There were some things that might have gotten lost in some translation. And so he wanted them to understand that what you believe in, the faith that you have, is not revealed in the knowledge that you possess. You don't have faith because you have scripture memorized. Come on. You don't have faith because you know the Bible context. You don't have faith because you don't believe in the Big Bang Theory and you believe in an intelligent designer. That is not what dictates or reveals faith. It's not because I got a 100 in seminary. It's not because I got a 100 in the Bible course that I was taking. It's not because I answered the questions that it asked me from the Bible. And then when I look at the answer sheet, I got them all right. It's not because I could read you the scripture frontward and backward. That's not what reveals my faith. What reveals my faith is what I do, not the knowledge that I possess. We saw that this was the message that Jesus had because he described this with the Pharisees. Oh yeah, you know the law. And you know where I'm from. And you know what Abraham them said, and you know what Moses said, but your daddy's still the devil. Because I could tell not by what you say, not by what you know, but what you do. Your daddy's still the devil. So that was the message, right? He is the light, the way, the good shepherd. He is God. He is resurrection and the life. Only those that know God would be able to be served by him. They would not receive him if they did not know God. And if they knew God, they would be able to receive him. It's impossible to know one without the other. He told them how. Hold on to his word. Do what it says to do. Right? And when you do what it says to do, then you will know the truth. The truth will set you free. Free from the bondage of sin, right? Anyone who commits sin is a slave to it. A slave is only here for a short amount of time. But the son is forever. Sonship is forever. So if the son sets you free, you will truly be free indeed. And your faith is not revealed in what you know. Your faith is not revealed in what you can spit out your mouth. Your faith is revealed by what you do. It's great to see Jesus said it because then his brother James told us that also, right? That faith without works is dead. The reason faith without works is dead is because we can't see your faith because you ain't working. I can't see your faith, your so-called faith, unless you're doing something. I can't see what you believe unless I can see what you're doing. Whether it's praying or fasting, whether it's working, whether it's pitching yourself, whether it's writing a book or publishing, I can't see it if you ain't do it. It's based on what you do, right? Let's look at Jesus's ministry. Somebody dropped ministry in the chat. Ministry. What did he do? Right? His message is what he said, is what he communicated, who he was, who he served, how he would do it. They knew that he would do it on the cross. They knew what benefits they would get by knowing him, right? They would have eternal life, right? Jesus had some good messaging. Y'all don't want to focus on y'all messaging, but it's hard to have a message if you don't know what your purpose is, but I'm going to leave that alone. But Jesus had a good message. He had a great brand message. His message was spot on. And it makes sense that his message was spot on because he was the driving force behind what he said and what he did and how he served and what his goal was the purpose for which he was created. Drop in the chat for me, ministry, because now we're going to talk about what he did, not just what he said, not just what he talked about. Ministry is the activity. What are you doing? Not what you're talking about, what you doing though. Ministry. He was forgiving and protecting, right? He forgave and he protected the adulteress. Let's not act like we don't know. The law did say that she was to be stoned. They caught her in the act. Don't matter if they had the man or if they didn't have the man. Truth is, she was sleeping with somebody else's husband. And the law from Moses that was given down by God said that she should be stoned. And even though Jesus said, let he who was without sin further throw the first stone, he too could have thrown a stone at her. Because he, Jesus, was without sin. So he could have got the ball rolling. He didn't. So his ministry was forgiving and protecting. He was healing the blind man and Lazarus. He was serving, washing feet. He was leading. Not only was he serving and washing feet, he was leading by example and washing feet. He was teaching by example and washing feet. He taught them what it meant, what they needed to do. He gave them instructions. He helped them to develop their leadership skills. He helped them to understand what a leader is. I know right now we hear this thing called servant leadership, and I get it. I get why we use that term, servant leadership. One, servant leadership is not in the Bible, that term. Servant leadership is not in the Bible. That word is not in scripture. Because at the time, it would have been kind of a conundrum, right? Like, of course, I'm a servant leader. How can I lead without serving? But now we see leadership as titles and roles held. And so I could have a leadership role. I can have the title of leadership and not myself be a leader. And so what we saw in part of Jesus' ministry was leadership development. So yes, he taught them with words and he taught them lessons, but he also led by example, right? Showing them not only what they needed to know so that they could lead, not just equipping them, but he was supporting them and he was giving to them and he was explaining to them and he was serving them. And so now when I get into a leadership position, I don't think it beneath me to serve those I've been called to lead. But we've had to develop this new word called servant leadership, even within the church, because we've kind of gotten to a place where titles and roles and positions dictate what true leadership is, right? Leadership is who's in charge. Leadership is who's the boss. Who's writing the thing? You're considered a leader. Sometimes because somebody is in a leadership position, we expect for them to behave like a leader, right? So this idea of servant leadership and like that wasn't a thing. Because when we look at the word, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, when we look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when we look at all of the great leaders in the Bible, nobody called them servant leaders, but we can see that all of the greatest leaders, the most effective leaders in the Bible, those that achieved the goals that they were servants. They served the people. They even served the people they were called to lead. Okay? Right? So this is Jesus's ministry. His ministry is in healing, right? What is he doing? Not what he talking about. What he doing? He's healing people. He's forgiving. He is teaching, right? He is imparting wisdom. I don't want to negate the fact that part of Jesus's ministry is in using his words. He is teaching and imparting wisdom and knowledge to them, right? So that they will understand how things work. He is also developing them as leaders, having them close to him. He's also serving them, right? So Jesus's ministry is twofold, if you ask me. The people, right? That he's called to heal the sick, the lost, the blind. And he's got a whole leadership development program. I wonder if we... I wonder if it's possible to be in ministry. And remember, ministry is an activity carried out by Christians. So I wonder if it is possible to be carrying out an activity as a Christian to spread my faith and at the same time not be expected or have some type of responsibility of leadership development of other people, somebody, someplace in my life. I wonder, I'll say that again. I wonder if it's possible for me to be in ministry, which really just means a Christian at work, working in a way that reveals my faith, that spreads my faith. I wonder if it's possible to do that and not have this other little piece that maybe God wants me to do and develop leaders. Also, I wonder if that's possible. I want us to get into conversation now. So if you're going to join us for the conversation as I get ready to close out, go ahead and hit that link in the description. There are a lot of you, listen, and this is the crazy part, right? There are a lot of you watching this live, but there are a few of you that joined the conversation. It's not enough for us to be hearers of the word. We have to be doers. And unless when you're done hearing this good word, this revelation, you get with somebody and you sit down and you create a plan of action, then you are an ineffectively receiving the word of God. There are so many ineffective Christians, Christians who are full of the word, Christians who get a revelation, Christians who are planted in great ministries, but then are not committed to take out the next steps to create an action plan so they can walk out and live out and do, right? So they can have a ministry and do these activities, right? In a way that, you know, that's crazy to me, but it's cool. Listen, hit the link so you can join the conversation because we're going to be over there shortly. But this is what I want you to consider. This is what I want you to be thinking about as we get ready to have this discussion. This is always true. What I'm going to say is always true. I just don't say it all the time. This is always true. The revelation that you got today, the questions, the understanding, the clarity that you got about purpose, the clarity that you got about message, the clarity that you got about ministry, all of that clarity that you got is not for you to take and use it as a filtration system to judge against somebody else's actions or to judge against somebody else's activity or to judge against somebody else's ministry. Mind your business. That's not what this is. God is not speaking to you. He's not telling you something so you can tell somebody else something. He's telling you something so that you can obey first. So whatever word you got today, tomorrow, next week, I don't even care where the word came from. Whatever word you got today is for you first. So before you start using this, right, this understanding of purpose and using this understanding of message and using this understanding of ministry and leadership and servant leader, before you take that to use that to judge this house, before you take that to use it to judge another house, use it to assess yourself. Because that's what it's for, right? That's why God wants you. God wants you to get in the word so that you can be transformed. God wants you to get in the word so that you can be equipped to do the work. Not so we can play telephone. I ain't going to change it all. I'm just going to get this message and I'm going to tell somebody else because the message ain't for me. No, baby, if you got the message, let it stop. Let it rest. Let it marinate. It's for you first. I want you to come over and have a conversation with us, right? Because the purpose was not for you to judge the ministry of others. It's not for you to sit back and say what somebody owe you. Well, in this ministry, at this church I was in, they owe me this. I'm not saying for you not to, you know whether or not you're supposed to be there or not be there. That's, hey, do you? But I'm saying that's not the purpose of this message. The purpose of this message is not so you can sit back and say what somebody owes you or what somebody needs to be doing in their ministry, at their ministry, the way they need to be doing their job. Nope. It's to assess, to adjust, and improve your own ministry, your own message. So I want you to join us so that we can hear from you. Not somebody else's. What's your individual purpose? What's your message? I want to give you an opportunity to talk about what your ministry is, right? What is your purpose? Don't get on here talking about all this stuff that you do. What is the driving force behind the decisions that you make? That's your purpose, not what you say your purpose is. The driving force behind the decisions. Some of us say we chase some purpose, but we really chase some money because the products and the services that we continue to put out are not tied to anything. They're really just a way for us to make money. So a way for us to use. You think because you're using your skill. Come on. You think because you're using your skills and your gifts and your talents, right, in the marketplace, that you're living out your purpose. That ain't the fact. How you know you're living out your purpose is if your purpose, the thing that God created you for, is that the driving force of your decisions? Is that the driving force of the products and services that you provide? Is that the driving force between why are you going back to school? Is it the driving force between what social media platform you on or you not on? That's how you know if purpose is driving you. Or if you're being driven by something else. And I'm not necessarily saying you can't be out here in this world doing good work, but you ain't doing God's work if you outside of his purpose for your life. Don't think you got to be out here scamming people. Well, I'm out here. No, I'm not talking. I ain't talking about no scammers. They ain't on this call. And if they is, may the Lord be with them. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about whether or not you scamming people. I'm not talking about whether or not you have a good product. I'm asking you, is this the purpose by which you were created by God to do? Is that the driving force behind what you say, what you do, what you sell, how you serve? That's what we're going to talk about on today. It's not normally what we talk about on today, but that's what we're talking about on today. What's your purpose? What's your message? What's your ministry? Right? My purpose is the thing that I was created to do. My message is who I am, who I serve, how I serve them, right? What goals I can help them to accomplish. That's my message. My ministry, what I do. What do you actually do? That's what we're going to talk about. So go ahead and click on over so you can be on the Zoom with us. Listen, I pray that this has blessed you. Man, I hope this blessed you. It was so good to me today. It's crazy. It was so good to me today. I pray that this blessed you in a mighty way. I hope it causes you to check. I hope it challenges the things that you have on your calendar for the week to make sure the thing that you're doing, this thing you're getting ready to launch, is in alignment with God's purpose for your life. God, I pray that everyone that is under the sound of my voice, whether they are watching this live or watching the replay, that they would take some time this week to get in a quiet space with you to really get confirmation about their purpose. Even if they think they know God, that they would just take a second and check in and be like, hey, I want to make sure we're on the same page, and that you would begin to disrupt their schedule, God, that you would begin to just take things off their plate that's not in alignment with what you've called them to do, that things would stop working that you haven't called them to be in, because we know that the things that they are praying for, it's an attachment. It's in alignment with their obedience and their obedience and doing the thing that you've called them to do. So God, I pray that you would just disrupt their whole schedule, that the things that they have prioritized over the purpose you've created them for, that the things that they've mistaken for their purpose would just be pulled and plucked right out of their life. So the things that were left for them this week would be the things that you've called them to do and to focus on. God, I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you love what we do here, support us by giving. You can, make sure you hit the like button, right? And also, if you love this message, you can help us to get it out, to reach people all over the world. Support the work that we are doing here at Dose of Courage Community Church by giving. Go ahead and click that link. Go to that website and give out of your generosity today. All right. I love you guys. And I will see you in the Zoom. If you're not in the Zoom, if you're watching this at a time where you just are catching the replay, still click that link, right? Because it's going to give you an opportunity to sign up and give me an opportunity to communicate with you so that you can kind of get in alignment and get and join this community. This is a dope community. Don't you want to know how you can be a part? Child, click the link, sign up. It's free. Join us. Okay. I love you guys, and I will see you on the Zoom call.